Come on. You know what's coming. You don't have to be Gibson Praise and read my mind to know the next words that are going to come out of my mouth. Regardless, here they go. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. The truth is out there, and here, who knows? Either way, we are opening up the Bloom Files here on Post-Show Recaps, an X-Files first watch slash rewatch podcast of not only the TV series The X-Files, but its accompanying films in the case of this week. Mike Bloom here to delve into the big screen and small screen as we are covering the first X-Files movie, as well as the beginning of Season 6 and the episode, The Beginning. Of course, I'm here with Angela Bloom, who, while pale, is not as see-through as some of the people in these two.
I'm not made of goo.
Well, I think we're all made of goo in a certain perspective. I'm no biologist, goo. But I think that's more of like the pessimistic version of like, oh, we're all just stardust. It's like, well, we're all just goo.
I say that a lot.
You love saying we're all
just
stardust.
I'm just saying we're all dust and shadows.
Well, that's a very Mulder-like approach too, right? Like, I feel like there's a VO of like, well, we're just composed of stardust. Whenever we die, we're just returned back to...
Well, I mean, the end of the... We'll get there, but the end of Season 6, Episode 1 is basically like, we're all made of aliens.
Yeah.
The end. X-Files over.
We're all aliens.
Well, I would summarize this movie and the episode that we watched as The X-Files is closed, The X-Files is open. The X-Files is closed, The X-Files is open.
Yeah, like,
oh, it's closed again.
The X-Files is open, but they're not working for like the big twist.
That's how it ends.
So yeah, I'm still so intrigued by this idea of we're going to have like an accompanying movie for a TV show, but also the series is still going to be ongoing. I can't really think of many pop culture products that have done that before.
Yeah, I can't either, but I guess
The Simpsons had it.
I think at this time it was common to make the movie.
Right, but usually the movie means the end.
Yeah, I guess.
Last week was the initial game plan of everything.
Yeah, but I mean, they also were just like, it was very popular at the time. They got a movie deal, they got a huge budget, and they made a 2-hour episode.
And they blew up a bunch of stuff. Yeah, you can really see the cinematic scope of this. Just like, they're blowing up buildings, they're making a giant freaking UFO appear, there's all these action sequences. Like, this distinctly felt like a movie to
me. Felt like it was not only a movie, but it was like a an action movie.
It was more like an action adventure movie, and that's what I was sort of, was my takeaway from this, was yeah, there was some X-Files stuff, but you know what, the movie had a tricky needle to thread, admittedly, right? Of, okay, you want to obviously keep the veterans of the show.
Yeah, appease the fans.
Theater, but also, you're appealing to like a brand new audience, so what do you do? And so while this does expand the plot in a certain regard, I'd say from a plot perspective, it's actually like fairly baseline.
Yeah, but if I watched this not understanding the X-Files, I would have no idea what was going on.
Oh, absolutely. It would be like the way I first approached this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like, who's that? Why is that important?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Exactly. So I think that if their efforts were to make this a blockbuster and an appeasement for fans, a la Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or something, they did not do that.
Yeah, well, that's another thing as well, is that has original source material to go after, right?
Yeah.
It has like a beginning, middle, and end. This is more so, well, this is another chapter in it, but
yeah,
it also takes on a distinctly different tone.
Yeah, wait, you see the next movie they made.
Oh, goodness. Well, I can only imagine. Because let's start.
Nobody liked that one.
Let's talk about starting big, because.
Yeah, you didn't even know what was happening. So at the beginning of this movie, and we're, to be, okay, up front, we're not covering this entire movie beat by beat.
Like, no, I think it's not like impossible. Yada yada through some stuff. Because like I said, like, it's not incredibly complicated. It's more so, it seems like.
But it just, I wanted to let our listeners know up front, if we miss something, so sorry.
Yeah, because I think because of the increased budget, they also really want to show off, like, moving from set piece to set piece.
But in the beginning, you were like, what's happening here? And I was like, that's a caveman. Like, you didn't get right away that it was a caveman.
Yeah, I thought it was someone, like, shrouded in cloaks.
But I think you missed the lower third that said it was 35,000 BC in North Texas. And all of a sudden, these cavemen are getting infected with the black oil and the birthing gross aliens and... it's a lot. But yeah, so basically the plot of this movie is that we discover where black oil came from.
Yep.
Which is Earth itself, that the extraterrestrials landed here pre-Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And then when the Ice Age happened, it kept them, or I guess they landed during, I don't know, but it kept them like subdued. And then as the ice was melting and they were warming up, that's how the black oil gets out. So it infects a caveman.
Yeah, so a caveman, what, like, they make their way into a cave. You said that you felt that, like, this shot was reminiscent of the shot in the opening credits of the guy falling.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, like, the title screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the guy falling, he's, like, blue and stuff. Yeah, I think that they're, like, reminiscing that in the X-Files opening credit.
And so I gotta say, again, the production stuff in this movie is really top-notch. Like, the cave itself looks super cool.
Yeah, I guess. It's a cave.
And, but they also put a lot of production into the alien work, because we're gonna see that, like, one of the big bads, and this is a little confusing as well, because granted, I skipped a couple beats on this whole black oil thing, but like the version of the black oil I've experienced with, right, is like it takes you over and then it'll leave your body.
Yes.
This is more so an alien is going to grow inside of you.
Yeah, so this is like a whole thing within the X-Files is that, yes, it starts out that way, but they like change their minds and now it's this.
Yeah, and so now it'll turn into like this guy in a suit that's going to essentially become like one of the big bads of this movie, right? Just like screaming and killing everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, cavemen do pretty well here in the battle of like caveman versus aliens. Like,
I guess
it ends up being a tie in that the alien kills one caveman, but the caveman kills the alien, but then the black oil infects him.
Yeah. And so, and then we flash forward and it's 1998 and it's North Texas and a little boy falls in a hole and finds caveman skull.
Apparently, according to Spencer, that kid is Lucas Black, who I know from his prolific work on The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. But yeah, this is him as a kid actor, unfortunately becoming like not patient zero, but I guess patient zero in this generation for this version of the black oil virus.
Yeah, and so these kids are playing and he gets infected and hazmat people come and it's all very government conspiratorial and all that stuff.
I was so confused because I'm like, wait, are we just spending the entire movie in Texas? What's going on here?
Because
thing we cut to, though, seems like something that's not related whatsoever. We'll find out.
But is also in Texas.
But is also in Texas where Scully and Mulder are now just like regular plainclothes FBI officers now that the X-Files is closed down and they're investigating a bomb
with
Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah. So Terry O'Quinn is like, I guess he's a special agent in charge of this terrorist bomb threat thing that's going on. And basically they're across the street, Scully and Mulder.
Oh, that's been a while since we had that mix up.
Mulder and Scully are across the street because Mulder has like a hunch. Like he's like, I'm just going to like investigate. Or I guess it's either that or they were told to like just investigate the building surrounding where the bomb threat was called in. Yeah. And he just happens to find it in a vending machine.
I got to say, I still cannot get used to the image of Terry O'Quinn with hair.
And a mustache.
And he has hair and a mustache. He looks like when we watch The Cutting Edge, when he plays like her dad slash coach. That's what it feels like. Apparently, he appeared in a previous episode of The X-Files and looked exactly the same.
He did.
It makes no sense as to why we can't just make him the same character.
They did that a lot in the 90s, though, where they would repeat actors who didn't play extras. They played like extra plus, you know, like they had played characters, but they weren't main characters. They only had a few lines, but they did that a lot in the 90s on Charmed specifically. People went from being one-off characters to like named characters.
Right. Well, that even happened.
Friends.
Well, I'm thinking specifically, for some reason, my mind flashes to Michelle Forbes on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
How like she started as a random one-off character and like, we like you. Say hello to Ensign Ro.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they did that a lot in the 90s.
But basically, yeah, like you said, Mulder and Scully are investigating another building. I will say, for the main characters, not really an epic way to introduce these characters, especially compared to what we're going to get from the cigarette-smoking man.
No, they come across very, like, our lives suck. Like, yeah. this is very reminiscent of when they lost the X-Files last time.
At least they're working together this time instead of, like, being scattered to the wind.
I will say there is some fun banter, though. They definitely amp up the Scully Mulder banter.
Yeah, well, because Mulder, as Scully is going to vocalize, is just like very unhappy with protocol.
Yeah.
Like he's used to basically getting to do whatever he wants. Now he has to deal with rules.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically, yeah, it's setting up that they're like not living their best lives right now. But either way, basically, Terry O'Quinn lets a bomb detonate.
Yeah. So the Mulder ends up just like by happenstance finding a bomb in the vending machine in that building, because they search it, there's nothing there, but like his hunch was correct. Terry O'Quinn comes in, kicks them out, and is like, I can do this on my own. Spoiler alert, he doesn't. He gets arsed and he gets blown up.
Yeah, but it's later in the movie, they say like he let it happen. Like
do we,
he
do
doesn't
we get confirmation that he did or not?
Yeah. Okay. Later in the movie, they basically are like, yes, he let it happen.
Well, because it turns out that this was all part of the conspiracy to cover up, because obviously the Lucas Black ends up dying and a bunch of firemen end up dying too due to like the monster attacking him. And so they end up blowing up this building and like sort of throwing the bodies on there to be like, oh no, they
well,
died
yeah,
in
so
this.
In this one building is a environmental like agency office mm-hmm. where the bodies are being stored, and they blow it up because of that. But it's like, they think they can get away with it because it's like part of a terrorist thing. Anyway.
Yeah. So, but basically, like, so are we to assume that he was in on that conspiracy then? That they told him, like, hey, you're going to be the sacrificial lamb, let the building get blown up?
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, in addition to him, they say four other people died during the bombing when, like, in reality, they were already dead, which, you know, Mulder finds out in a little bit, but.
Yeah. We should also mention that, so there's going to be a lot of, like, tribunals going on here,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, yeah. But FBI tribunals.
But they're led by, and this is another thing, like, a little bit of stunt casting mm-hmm. in this movie, Blythe Danner.
Blythe Danner. Yeah, and in the beginning, episode one of season six, it's, like, a different lady. Yeah,
it's Wendy Malick. It's, yeah. She of Just Shoot Me fame.
Yes, exactly. So it's, like, they're going for the same vibe, though.
Yeah, but I mean, pretty big to get Blythe Danner here. We know her probably the most, Angela and I do, as her role as Martha Jefferson in 1776.
Yeah, that's what she's most famous for sure.
Absolutely. So Mulder and Scully, their sort of plot this movie is that, like, now Scully is like, well, we've been working together for so long, but like, if I get transferred somewhere, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Cause she's just like, this sucks.
Yeah. Because basically she says, you know, cause they feel like this is going to be the final mm-hmm. straw. The FBI is going to be like, cause now they think that Mulder and Scully are also in.
Yeah. They think that they think they did something and they were working with Michaud, which is the character mm-hmm. of Terry O'Quinn, to like get, I don't know, to like do something spoofy.
Yeah, basically like commit like domestic terrorism.
I guess. It just all seems very stupid. Anyway, we meet Alvin Kurzweil.
Alvin Kurzweil in this bar mm-hmm. with the bartender that looks like Chasha Yar in the bar.
Yeah.
I will say something that Mulder drops here, and I guess because it's the movie and not TV, Mulder says shit a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, he does
movie.
A lot, and I feel like it is a little forced because like there's not a necessity for it, but he just like curses a lot.
No, yeah, it feels like that kid that's like, oh, my parents are around. Great,
yeah.
I can curse now.
F-bombs everywhere.
Yeah, well, listen, they are letting bombs go off, let alone F-bombs.
True dat.
I do love the call out for Independence Day as well. Again, I don't know if it's, I was going to say.
Well, and in the series
premiere, they've called out Men in Black.
Yeah.
I was going to say like, oh, maybe they'll call out other, because there were a bunch of like alien-centric things now.
The hit television series Roswell. Big fan.
You are a big fan of Roswell.
Let's do a rewatch of that. It's only three seasons. We could watch every episode.
Yeah, you had me watch the first episode.
Oh,
I was like,
so fun.
I was like, oh, this is fine.
It's like a teen drama about aliens.
So what about Roswell? Did you watch Roswell in New Mexico?
I did, and I really liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
Is
it was
like
good.
Dark and spooky yeah. in a new CW way?
Well, so it's basically off the same source material, like sidebar about Roswell. It's like a series. And so the CW version that they did back back in the 90s was very like teeny bopper, but that's not like as close to the original source material as the new one, which is like they're older. They're not like in high school.
Right. But is it the same character?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's the same characters, but it's like reworking of it.
Like
basically.
Sequel series.
Kind of. It's more like a reworking of
it. Okay. Let's talk about Kurzweil here, because he introduces himself, right, as sort of like, like deep throat adjacent, I would say.
Like, yeah, he's a doctor who like knows things.
Yeah, he says initially that like he's an old friend of his dad's. We'll see later on that is true. He's going to see him in the picture. And it's basically like sending Mulder down the trail being like, this was a cover up. The fireman and the little boy weren't in that building at the time.
Yeah. And so this leads them to going to the morgue to see the bodies. And this is when Scully finds the goo.
Yeah, exactly.
The goop.
Meanwhile, we see that the syndicate and Cigarette Smoking Man are going to be like behind basically the cover up of this cave. Some pretty epic shots of like helicopters, you know, silhouetted by the
lighting
moon.
Cigarettes on underneath helicopter.
For some reason, despite like
this bothered me.
Heavy winds blowing in your face.
He was like, I need to light the cigarette right now.
Maybe that's just like a big advertisement for addiction. Right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
gotta light
yes.
it anywhere.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, but this is where we get a new thing, right? Where like one of the infected seems to have like some sort of creature crawling around inside of it. Like,
yeah, basically they discover that they're able to keep the creature from coming out if they keep it cold enough.
Right, which we'll find out in the beginning. Like, it likes hot. It doesn't like cold.
Yeah, and so they're like, they're waiting so that they can give the thing the vaccine, I guess, to see if it kills the creature. It's all like a big experiment.
Yeah, and then we also see that, like, this bald guy who is sort of like the main guy in charge of sealing everything off, get these people out of here, he eventually gets caught in the cave and attacked by the alien.
Yeah. So I guess, like, because he's basically the cigarette smoking man's like, don't wait, just give it the vaccine. Like, and the guy's like, well, the vaccine's not ready, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, he gets killed.
Yeah, and so there's also
it gestates, if you will.
And there's also going to be a bit of back and forth, right, of like Mulder be like, I don't trust Kurzweil. Like, he sees a bunch of apocalyptic material being written by him and is like, you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you're using me, blah, blah, blah.
And Kurzweil's like, no, there's colonization. And there's a planned catastrophe going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't love like the Kurzweil stuff. I guess it puts him on the right track.
He's a necessary character, not necessarily an interesting character.
Definitely
I feel like
not.
We've seen this type of thing before.
Maybe if we hadn't, we would be more interested.
Yeah, exactly. So someone's arc that's going to be incredibly interesting in this episode. R.I.P. Dapper Dan.
Yeah.
Like a real coming out party here.
He does. So he basically, they're having a meeting of the syndicate and like, he's like, we should be fighting. Like, we shouldn't be, you know, he's on the side of Mulder now, basically. Like, we should be fighting against colonization, where the rest of them are still sort of on the side of let's continue down this road so that we can create a vaccine.
Right. He's basically saying like, no, this is going wrong. We're losing control here.
Yes, exactly. And so he's like, the vaccine works, so we need to like amp up production of that and like all this other stuff. But basically like, he's out on the syndicate.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we'll see that later on. This is essentially like, you know, if we're talking about Terry O'Quinn sort of suicide mission, this is kind of what Dapper Dan does. So now we get a bit of a set piece here, a bit of an action piece where Mulder and Scully go to...
back to Texas.
And we see now that like, now that, you know, they got the alien out and the black goo has been covered up and everything, like now just a playground's been put over.
Yeah, so they've put up a playground to... like cover up everything, and they've given all the neighborhood kids new bikes.
Exactly.
And said don't say shit.
And then as and Mulder says shit a lot in this movie, but as Mulder and Scully get into yet another argument, right, where Scully's like, you're just following false leads, nothing's happening, choo-choo, train goes by.
Yeah,
they follow the train to a new bubble that's been set up.
Yeah, and they have it's like surrounding a bunch of cornfields, two glowing domes. Inside the domes, the grates open up and bees!
The bees are back. You freaked out.
I hate bugs.
You like really hate
here's
bugs.
Here's the thing. I actually, spiders don't freak me out because, I mean, they're freaky, but like there's usually just one.
Yeah.
You know, but if there are many bugs, I'm like getting itchy right now.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going to have to pause the podcast so I can go shower.
It's a pretty big effect where they have like these close off like hives and then they all open at once. And then they basically get chased into the cornfield. And again, David Duchovny, it does a lot of good things. Action star, he is not.
Scully!
Yeah. He yells Scully, but he
Scully!
Scully! Scully! way.
Like, she's really good at yelling Mulder. She's like, Mulder! Like, but
he has, for some reason,
yeah, he just keeps saying it.
Yeah, it's like the polar opposite of Samantha. Like, for some reason, Fox Mulder just can't say people's
names. He can't yell. He can't yell names.
When he's like in emotional distress.
He just can't yell names. It's not his forte. So
they escape the bees, and they also escape, you know, the
They're chased by the black helicopters.
Yeah, the helicopters and the goons are chasing them. And Scully literally has to go from this situation into the disciplinary.
I know, you were like, what's happening here? Why does she look like that? And I'm like, she came from the cornfields.
Like, literally had to go right there to the point where...
So she got on a plane and flew from Texas to Washington, D.C., and at no point was able to go to the bathroom and tidy up.
Well, it's clear she didn't change her outfit. She did, she might have noticed there's a bee in there.
I know. I was waiting for this. This was like one of the most annoying parts of the movie to me because it's just very forced because they're giving you a lot of Hollywood will they, won't they in this movie.
Yeah. So let's go right into that because Scully's going to see like Mulder at her apartment and is like, I've been transferred to Salt Lake City.
At his apartment.
I'm quitting. And Mulder gives this impassioned plea, you know, you kept me honest. You made me a whole person. And then there's a pause.
Which is great. I love it.
Yeah. And they hug and then she kisses him on the head. And
she does that a lot though.
And then they do like the very intimate forehead touch.
And yeah, which then... they do a lot and I love. Yeah, so they're going in for a kiss basically, which is like a big like thing that at this time was like, are they ever going to get together? Like people were like waiting for it. So in the movie, them teasing it like this was like hilarious. Just like so on point.
Such a freaking tease though, because like as
But
they
I'm
are...
glad that they don't kiss.
Yeah, well, at least at this point, but it just seems so shoehorned into
like a movie,
that part of the
a movie base. Thing too. But either way, a bee slips out of her collar and stings her,
and she goes into shock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess maybe that's an excuse to get away without a little bit of a smoochy smooch.
Yeah, I guess so.
At this point, you had said like, you know, I'd seen this and sort of rolled my eyes, and you're like, oh, just wait, the movie has not gotten. Like wackadoo yet.
Yeah, I was like, shit has not hit the fan yet.
And I'm like, oh, what could that possibly mean? Scully gets taken away in an ambulance, and the ambulance driver shoots Fox Mulder in the head.
This was
why I was going bananas.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's just a graze.
just
grazed
just a flesh wound, but that this was like absolutely wild to me.
Yeah, things just go wild at this point because this is also when, so the ambulance, it's the wrong ambulance, basically.
Right, because then a real ambulance pulls up right after they
luckily,
pull away.
Because Mulder just got shot in the fucking head. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it, so it turns out it's from the syndicate, right? Mm-hmm. They shoot Mulder in the head. Through a window. I still cannot get over that. That got me out of nowhere.
Yeah, and so it's just not great. Not great. But Mulder's able to, like... So he's in the hospital, and the lone gunmen show up. And this is my favorite, when he asks Byers for his clothing, because he's, like, the only one that he could, like, dress up as, and he escapes, like, as Byers, basically.
Yeah, because basically, like, they... And I'm sad that the lone gunmen don't make more of an appearance. They show up for, like, this one thing, serve their role, but they essentially help Mulder break out of the hospital.
Yeah. And this is when he meets Dapper Dan.
Dapper Dan throws him in a limo, gives him a vaccine, and the coordinates where Scully's located.
Yeah, and so this is all well and good, except as soon as Mulder gets out of the car, he basically is like, get out of the car, like, get out of the car.
He also, I mean, this is a great
He knows movie. It's coming.
It's a great movie to shoot someone at point-blank range. Dapper Dan stops the car, kills his driver, says, get out of the car right now. This is when he also does a bit of an expo dump to Mulder, like revealing, oh, this virus has been on the planet for millions of years, and then tells him, trust no one. Gets back in the car and it explodes.
It explodes. Yeah. So basically he's doing this because his driver gives him this look that's like, I'm going to tell on you. And so before he can be discovered by the syndicate, he just kills himself.
Well, I think he also, yeah. Like,
he wants to protect his family too. We get this nice image of him earlier in the movie with his family. So he has like a family outside of the syndicate and he's like worried that things are going to go the wrong way there.
Yeah, exactly. So I also think at a certain point he's like in for a penny, in for a pound. Like,
yeah.
They would not let me live my life with the information that I know, but yeah. I clearly disagree with this and I'd rather, was it like die on my feet than live on my knees?
I guess so, yeah.
But he has no feet or knees because the car
dead.
Blew up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is wild to me. This was like not only a major character in the syndicate, but like the most important. This is the guy who like talked to Scully all the way back during Melissa Scully's funeral.
Yeah,
right?
so I don't know why they chose to kill him off in the movie, but Bye.
I mean, it's a big role because this was like the one who I think was the most pro Scully and Mulder.
Yeah. So I mean, it is strange that they chose to do it in the movie, but I guess they assumed that anyone that was watching the TV show would watch the movie.
So Mulder's given those coordinates and they are in Antarctica.
To the north.
Or the south. The north is Arctic. The south is Antarctica.
To the south.
To somewhere snowy. Here Mulder is driving through a snowmobile. And this is just like, this is ridiculous. There's this entire sequence where he falls through like at least three layers of ice and snow.
And then crawls through a tunnel into the Matrix.
Into the Matrix, basically. Yeah. Where we have all these pods. I guess it's assuming it's within the UFO, right?
I guess so, but it's like basically all humans in like ice enclosures being kept cold. So I guess the government is using this as a facility to keep people that are infected with the virus cold.
Right.
So that they don't hatch.
Exactly. Because then it's like, all right, well, this will be, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Right. Or, well, let's get a vaccine. But either way, they're all in stages of becoming aliens.
Yeah. And so Mulder is going, he's not out of the woods yet. There's going to be this whole sequence, right, where he like slides down the chute. And surprisingly, nothing breaks, despite the fact that he's gone like tumbling hundreds of feet down.
Some people just have strong bones.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like the vaccine.
Oh, yeah, but that's in a nice little like case.
Yeah, maybe his goo sort of housed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds Scully. Poor Gillian Anderson. She looks terrible.
Yeah,
here.
They love to do this to her because she looks so like gaunt and great, like cinematically whenever that she's like sick or has cancer or is, you know, she just looks like good. I don't want to say good, but like she looks
put together.
No, like her face is very pale and you put that kind of makeup on her and it looks like very scary, you know? So anyway, he breaks her little pod and he gives her the vaccine and
which ends up apparently like contaminating the system.
Yeah, because she's basically plugged into the Matrix. Like, and so all of the, like the pods start to die, basically.
Yeah, start to die, but also like now these alien creatures that were like in hibernation are also breaking out.
Yeah, they begin to escape, basically, the cocooned aliens.
Yeah, so now the final sequence is now escape the facility.
Yeah.
Mulder and Scully basically trying to, well, mostly Mulder. Scully's
we're not going
out.
Through this beat by beat. They escape.
they escape. You know, there is a very fun callback, in my opinion, to the very first conversation they have in this movie is Scully pretends that they accidentally got locked on the roof and she says, I had you big time. And then Scully, I think here, pretends to be dead and then said, I had you big time.
Yeah, she doesn't pretend to be dead, but like she's like passed out kind of and she says that.
Yeah, this is a wild effect where
you were freaking out.
Yeah, they do like an entire ice shelf collapsing. I just can't imagine with the TV show that we've watched that like they would ever do this.
No, they couldn't have. I mean, like just whatever special effects wise, they just couldn't have.
Yeah, and so everything collapses because a GD spaceship.
Yeah, big one.
a big one. And I was like,
so I guess we have to imagine that this is the original ship that landed under and was under the ice like forever.
Yeah, or maybe it's like the capital, right? How like the founding city is not necessarily the capital one, but
yeah, exactly.
At least it houses the most amount. But I was furious at first because I was like, Scully, just turn around.
I know. I told her. I was
flop
like,
on your back.
I was like, she does, but like barely.
Yeah, we'll see this in the beginning, right? She's like, I acknowledge what I saw, but like, I can't be sure of it.
Yeah, because I hate that too. It's
and
like
that's going all the way back to the mine shaft and seeing all the little aliens run by.
So true.
And so Mulder collapses, and now it's Scully's turn. She's going to, like, huddle him for warmth because he gave her his jacket, one of the many.
Yeah, and she looks terrible.
But they escape. They're somehow able to be found, and we cut back to another hearing where Scully is seemingly now off the hook, but
kind of, but
they're like, hey, here's a little piece of evidence, but also your story is too ridiculous. And as they're talking about how ridiculous it is, we see the said story being covered up, right? Like the oil trucks are being painted over, the crops are being torched.
And it's all going to be done in, so we see that another crop is going to show up in Tunisia. But she, before that, at the hearing, she hands them, they're like, you have no evidence, you have no evidence. And she gives them the bee.
Yeah, look at I got a little bee for you.
I'm like, that's not really evidence, but okay.
You must be suspicious.
And Mulder's like reading an article that's like all of the stuff was covered up.
And yeah, basically. And he's frustrated about it. But then Scully basically says, first, A, I made the argument that the X-Files needs to exist to deal with this type of stuff. And B, she echoes what they said before in their almost kissy-kissy conversation. If I quit, they win. Like she's now renewed with purpose.
Again.
She's going to say, like, okay, I realize now that there is something larger afoot, and it would be wrong for me to leave it behind.
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, in Tatooine.
The cigarette smoking man basically is telling... So there's this guy that you're introduced to here from the syndicate. His name is Conrad Strughold.
That's an incredible name.
That's his name.
Conrad Strughold?
Yeah, he's the German scientist from the syndicate that you hear in the beginning of the movie. And so basically he is like managing, the whole situation in Tunisia.
Yeah, so basically, it seems like they're able to, like, make these pop-ups happen real fast, right? Considering,
seriously,
like, these crops are up and thriving in what seems like maybe a couple days. Unless there were, like, other satellite areas, and they're like, well, Antarctica's down, let's go to Tatooine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they probably had multiple ones going on, so I don't know. I mean, this is now their main one. He's also like, why are you here? And then he gets a telegram that...
Telegram for you, sir!
Exactly, that the exiles have been opened.
Yep, and so basically this is when we also get the quote, one man alone cannot fight the future.
He says it!
Yeah, and so we get the title. And so yeah, like you said, this was all to serve a big step forward, I think, in terms of advancing the mythology, albeit a little conflicting with previous versions as to like what the virus is, what it means, big move in killing off Dapper Dan... But ultimately to say, like, the X-Files is back, but we'll soon find out that it won't necessarily be back.
It's back. It's not back. It's back.
Yeah, it won't necessarily be back with Mulder and Scully.
We're back. Back again.
Oh, I was going to say, like, we're back a dinosaur story?
We're back a dinosaur story.
Roll back the rhythm to the dawn of time, like the beginning of the movie.
And now we're at the beginning of season 6.
But first, we're going to announce the end of the movie by taking a quick break, and we're going to chill out. Get some snow, get some ice, and we'll come back to talk about the beginning. In the beginning, we are in the desert of Arizona.
Yeah, and just great.
Well, something that I had read about was, we talked about this last week, that the show has moved its filming location from Vancouver to Los Angeles. And actually, I was a little right on the money. I had read that apparently the reason why they moved is because David Duchovny kind of like...
Yeah, he made them.
...put up a fit about how he wanted to have more movie opportunities and also be closer to his...
I get it. Like, I feel like if I were an actor, you know, like, and I was, like, making it big, like, this is his time, you know? So he can have more movie opportunities. I get it.
That being said, though, I think that, you know, what it unfortunately means is we're not going to get as, like, many snowy or cold locations.
We'll see.
Because I've been told that, like, now a lot of the miscellaneous places we'll go, we're like, we're not going to go to the Midwest as much or the Northeast.
No, it's so more...
The Southwest and other hot locations.
Yeah, but I mean, we've been a long time in the Northeast, so I never noticed it that much.
So here we are. We open on some Roush people. This is the first time we
Roush Technologies.
A little bit. Yeah.
So Roush Technologies, if you recall, is the syndicate's fake little company.
Yeah, it's like their shell corporation.
Their shell corporation, basically, for black oil research.
Yeah. So we see some of these you know, white collar Thai guys.
Yeah,
like smarmy.
Yeah, like scientist-y type people.
Yeah. I will note that the guy who ends up dying here, Sandy, apparently is played by the show's casting director, Rick Milliken.
Oh, that's weird.
I think that is very fun that, I mean, he doesn't do anything, right?
No,
he just, like, is very uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah, he sweats a lot and then an alien crawls out of his abdomen.
Yeah, essentially, like, he's told to turn up the thermostat to high. His skin becomes to become translucent. I was intrigued by why he has so many pictures of himself on his own mantle.
I think they were all pictures of, like, him in certain situations. Like, if you look closely, it's, like, him shaking a hand with somebody and then him holding an award. So clearly he's, like, decorated scientist.
Yeah, exactly. Very decorated, but soon to be decorated with blood spatter. Even though we won't see the alien actually break out of him. Like, we'll see the after effects.
The after effects are gross. Like, hardcore nasty.
So Mulder, meanwhile, is now sort of back at trying to...
Also the alien is free. It's escaped.
Yes, the alien has broken out. Like, it was incubated inside of him, and now it is born onto this world.
And also killed another person and is escaped.
Yeah, all right, because his buddy comes by like, oh, Sandy, what's going on? And then he gets attacked. Mulder, meanwhile, he's now picking things up as to end. And we're like, he's trying to use technology to essentially piece together stuff that got burned in the fire.
Yeah. So there, if you recall, there was a giant fire at the end of the last season. And he's using, some sort of microscope to like look at burned pages. Yeah, like,
I think he said like re-moisturize.
Yeah. It just seems like a super tedious task and also like not the best use of his time.
Well, the more noticeable thing, and maybe this is how Mulder used his time in the intervening hours/days, Mulder's got a new hairstyle.
Yeah, you noticed this, but I didn't notice.
And he's got more of the crew cut now.
You'll notice it in the episode that we're going to watch. Are we watching that next week, The Triangle? Yeah, you'll notice it a lot in that. He also is a little chunky in that episode.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. I think it's just because I'm used to the floppy
the
hair
floppy middle part
out of the first five seasons, but now he's going for like more of the shorter crew cut.
Yeah, it's a new era.
Yeah, so essentially we get yet another tribunal here, right, where they're like, this is a ridiculous story you're putting out here. Mm-hmm. You know, these and BT Dubs, your travel expenses are ridiculous.
Yeah, I love when they bring up the travel expenses as if it's going to have any effect on the TV series. Like, like, let's just like have a little moment where we remind,
I think it's like
where we remind the audience that realism exists.
That's the thing is, and this happened, it's odd to say, but I guess it's a similar, it's a Fox show. It reminds me a lot of what they would do on Glee, where they would like, call out, it's ridiculous that this guy stays on the piano in the choir room the entire time, but they don't do anything about
it.
They lampshade it, but they do nothing with the lamp.
Yeah, so they spend a lot of money.
Mulder's going to say, but, Scully got infected. That proves that something's afoot. But Scully cannot speak to that.
Yeah, so basically he sets up this whole thing for Scully to knock it out of the park to get them reassigned to the X-Files. And Scully, like, messes it up, basically. And
because she's like, I speak from a scientific perspective. Yeah. And from a science perspective, there's nothing there yet to suggest that this was an alien virus.
Yeah, so they are denied reassignment.
Meanwhile, the syndicate is going to hear about what happened with Sandy, and the cigarette smoking man wants to just like burn it all down.
Like, yeah, he's like, let's be done.
Because now this one alien creature's escaped. He wants to kill it. He says the response must be equal to the threat. And that's essentially going to be the syndicate plot line in this episode, is that they're going to try to
go after this alien.
Hunt down and kill this alien creature.
And they'll use somebody special to do it in a little bit. But first, Skinner's back.
Skinner's back, and he's going to tell Mulder, you know, well, first off, Mulder's going to be pissed because Skinner essentially said, your request to join the X-Files has been denied unanimously, including me.
Yeah, I mean, but his whole thing is like, if I had stood against them, I wouldn't be able to help you in the future. Whereas like,
he's going to play both sides.
Yeah. And I mean, he's right. If something's unanimous and you're the only person standing against it, like it doesn't make sense.
It hurts you and it helps no one.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though Mulder feels betrayed in the moment, Skinner though is going to tip him off. He's going to say, this, you know, came across my desk. It's a file folder that has pictures of Sandy in it. The problem is, you know,
it's on the desk in his old office.
In your old office, that's not filled by you, but by a different type of person.
Yeah, you were like surprised to see Jeffrey Spender here.
I did not think he'd be as long for this series.
I told you that he was.
Yeah, but I just
and that his mama's super important.
I mean, that's another person, right, that we were talking about making these one-off appearances, but like really becoming a big character.
Yeah, and he's not alone.
No, Diana Fowley.
Ugh.
Saboteur.
The Saboteur.
Brute.
Yeah, these two are the worst. I hate them in this episode and further episodes.
It's so interesting to me because it's almost like, I don't know if this is meta, but they're saying like, you know, this is like the replacement level, you know, wish.com version of the X-Files.
Well, and it sucks because Jeffrey Spender's like still sort of on this like do-gooder X-Files, like, or do-gooder FBI guy type thing where he's just trying to do his job well.
Yeah.
But he hates Mulder.
Right.
And Diana Fowley's like, I'm here because I know the X-Files. So she's like, don't worry, I got this.
Yeah, she basically like, is still trying to affirm to Mulder, like, don't worry, I'm on your side.
Yeah, but it's all very like what you say to somebody when they're holding a gun to a hostage. Like, don't worry, I got this. Like,
I wonder what she would have done in the whole Joanne Barry case.
Yeah, so I mean, either way, like, he doesn't feel good about it. Speaking of, he takes the folder.
Speaking of not feeling good, we get to see what happens with poor Gibson.
I know.
After he was taken. The syndicate, they're doing very intense brain surgery on him.
Yeah, it's not surgery. Surgery is what we do to fix somebody. They're doing brain experiments on him.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, they're maybe do experimental brain surgery.
Yeah, so either way, they're trying to figure out what about him makes him able to read minds.
Exactly. And so Mulder and Scully, meanwhile, they're still up to their old tricks, despite not having the X-Files name. They're going to sneak into the crime scene.
Yes. So Mulder got the folder, so he has all the info.
Mulder got the folder.
So he has all the info about where Sandy gestated, and they go in there, and they basically are able to find an alien, I guess, nail in the wall.
Yeah, I like Mulder's reference to RuPaul. Again, like, lots of 90s stuff in these couple of episodes.
I know. Yeah, I guess they got a little bit more confident that they could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this is timeless.
Yeah.
Well, RuPaul actually is timeless in that regard. But Mulder immediately picks up that, you know, oh, there must have been, like, a newborn creature killing someone.
So, based off of the pictures that he has, he sees the open, like, the open guy.
Cavity.
So gross to me. And he sees all the blood on the furniture, and he puts two and two together and is like, no, this alien gestated just like I saw in Antarctica.
Yep.
And it's out there killing people.
Meanwhile, a syndicate car pulls up outside. I love Gibson reading the cigarette smoking man for filth.
Oh, yeah.
Basically being like, you think I can destroy you.
Yeah.
You're afraid of what
you're
I can
afraid
do.
Of me.
And so I'm not afraid of you. No, big boy.
Big boy with my cigarettes.
We get obviously not as much of a lean in moment as the movie, mm-hmm. but here we get something right where Scully grabs Mulder's hand. There's like a gasp moment.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I have a little bit. I have to read it that way after what happened in the movie. I'm sorry. I'm buying into the hype they're putting out here.
You. So, you just don't get it. You don't get their love.
The big question is, what happened to this creature? Cut to a nuclear power plant and a lazy bald guy named Homer.
Yeah, this was funny to me because I never noticed this before because I'm not a big Simpsons. I was never a big Simpsons person until I married.
Until you met me.
Until I met you. And
marry me, you married the Simpsons.
Clearly. But yeah, this was funny. I guess it was intentional, but
they could have leaned further into it.
They could have,
Donuts.
Yeah, where was his donuts?
His final words could have been, don't.
Don't. Or as I like to say, doit.
For some reason, that's what you thought his catchphrase was.
I like it better.
But yeah, Homer's going to be this lazy guy is going to be essentially told, like, the reactor's 5 degrees off. Go check in on it. And 5 degrees off, because I think that's how the alien likes it.
Yeah, it's at its own thermostat. Basically, the alien is chilling out in the core, in the reactor.
The reactor,
getting, like, hot, because I guess heat makes it gestate. And we find out at the end of this episode that, like, the alien is, like, that's not its final form.
It's like, he's like Frieza from Dragon Ball Z.
I know, you said that when we were watching it, and I was like, I don't remember who that is.
I know.
My brother was also very into the Dragon Ball.
DBZ, you can call it that.
I'm not going to.
please don't call it the Dragon Balls, if anything.
The Dragon Balls. That's not its final form, and it's hanging out in the nuclear power plant trying to warm up, get cozy.
Yeah, essentially trying to, like, shed that skin, as it were.
It's going through, it's at the spa.
Yeah, so Mulder and Scully
are going... schleffing of the skin.
What happens with Gibson here? Because Mulder and Scully find Gibson. Was he essentially, like, abandoned by the syndicate?
No, so the syndicate had him in the back of the car, and basically driving him around saying, is it here? Is it here? Is it here? They get to the nuclear power plant and he's like, it's here. And so he's left in the back of the car. And as they're like going to investigate where the alien is, he sneaks into Mulder's car.
That's what it is. Because we see that
he escapes basically.
Because now they're going to the nuclear plant. Spender steps in and is like, GTFO Mulder and Scully. And then they just happen to find Gibson collapsed
in the back of their car. Yeah. So basically Gibson escapes from the cigarette smoking man and goes in their car. It's lucky.
They do a really great job of just showing how much of a hack job they did on Gibson.
I know.
When you see the scars on his head and how he calls them butchers, right?
Yeah, like, basically. And I mean, Scully's like, they did an okay job with your stitches, but it's infected and it's like not good. So
yeah,
you need to be in a hospital.
It's
basically
interesting because now with Gibson back, because let's remember in the end, Scully was the one that was beating the drum of like, he's the key to everything.
Yeah.
He's the missing link. He will reinvigorate the X-Files. And now Scully has a bit of a pep in her step. She's like, okay, he's back.
Yeah, this is our proof.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Mulder's going to get called away because Diana Fowley is basically going to enlist his help in tracking down the monster.
Right, because they believe that the alien is seeking heat, which it is, in the nuclear power plant, and they find organic material on the ground.
Mulder thinks it's not.
And it is.
In a manner of speaking.
It's more goo.
Yeah, more goo, exactly. Meanwhile, Scully is going to discover that Gibson now has the virus that she had.
Yeah, so basically, but it's not that he has the virus, it's part of him.
Right, so we talked about this last week, and we can skip ahead a bit temporarily, that we talked about this comparing it to, like, the X-Men mutant DNA, and that's really...
Yeah.
That's really talked about here, where essentially we all have alien DNA inside us. It's just certain people have it activated more so than others.
Yeah, it's junk DNA. It's like extra bits that aren't in use. But with Gibson, they're turned on, and that's why he has these powers, I guess.
Exactly. But Gibson's going to be taken by a guy.
Yeah, a guy. Yeah.
And they're all going to go to the same location.
If you look it up online, he is known as the black-haired man.
Oh my, these are the worst descriptions for characters.
Well, they don't need names. They don't need names.
They need names.
They don't have names.
But they're so uncreative with these names. Like, oh, the man who wears brown shoes.
Yeah, anyway, he doesn't make it, this guy.
No, because essentially they all end up converging on the same place.
Yeah, because Gibson knows where the alien is because he can communicate with him.
I do like what happens occasionally on the X-Files where they'll give this, like, pulse-pounding music mm-hmm. for pretty menial events. They do this here with Mulder and Fowley, like, just walking through the factory, and they're like, dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't
like
notice
they're
that.
They're
I guess it worked on me, because I wasn't too aware of that.
So, really, sort of like, the climax is kind of nothing doing, right? Like,
yeah.
Gibson and the guy get trapped in this chamber with the monster. The monster kills the guy.
But not Gibson.
Diana runs away, and, like, Mulder basically has to run after her.
Yeah, and they're, you know, Gibson is in the, like, and what do you want to call it? Like
it's,
a room?
It's like the antechamber.
Antechamber.
The ending is almost reminiscent of the ending of whatchamacallit, when Krycek.
Yeah, yeah. He's like kind of stuck in there right now with this alien, but.
I'm assuming they escape at some point.
Yeah, but also like he can talk to the alien, which makes it less lonely.
Yeah, his buddy. Yeah, he has someone to talk to. Yeah. Unlike Krycek.
Yeah.
So at the end of all of this, Mulder and Scully still don't get back into the X-Files because of that pesky Diana Fowley.
Yeah, so because of Diana Fowley...
Who essentially, like, completely negated everything Mulder
said. Which is, like, we knew it was coming. I mean, she was doing that thing where she was playing both sides, for sure.
Or at least, like, manipulating Mulder to
Help her, yeah. And then, like, yeah, she sucks. I hate her.
No, it's very clear that I think her true colors are showing, even though Mulder is still led along, right? He's like, oh, no, she did it for the good of the X-Files. Mm-hmm. And Mulder's like, no, she did it for the good of herself.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, they're reassigned.
To assistant director Kirsch, close up.
Played by the man. I forget his name.
Man.
I forget his actual name. Something Pickens, but he is Chief Weber from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, so Angela has been watching so much Grey's Anatomy.
What season? I'm on like season 10.
Out of like 17.
I'm almost there.
That's wild.
I'm more than halfway done.
So yeah, you're seeing this guy in a whole new light. So I imagine he's going to be a pretty reoccurring character
now. To an extent, yeah. I mean, he basically, if you remember, assistant director.
Evans.
Yeah, so it's similar to that, but this guy's a foil for sure.
Yeah, he's going to.
He gets in the way.
He's going to be sort of the stick up the butt, I can imagine, of like, what are you two doing? You shouldn't be doing that.
They give him that vibe too, right off the bat.
Meanwhile, Spender's going to meet with his daddy, who's basically like, you know, oh, thank you for putting Mulder on thin ice. He's like, but I didn't get him. He's like, well, I just want to break his spirit.
Yeah, which is, he's so weird.
It's weird. This is when he also reveals, like, yeah, I've killed people in the past. And his son's like, I don't like this.
Yeah, like, I mean, it sucks because Jeffrey Spender is the worst. Like, you're not supposed to like him. But at the same time, I do feel like he's somebody who... His whole life is just about being a good employee. Like, he just wants to do his job.
That's the thing, is I personally feel like he is curmudgeonly, but he also, I think, is in way over his head.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. He's just trying to do his best, and it would be great if they could reassign him.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
To, like, another
like,
office.
It's clear he is a puppet at this point. Like, his son put him, or his father put him in this position to, like, have a leash on the X-Files.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the nuclear power plant where we see some shedding skin.
Yes, and a new form of the alien. And this is after the revelation of how we all have alien DNA inside us. We're all a little bit alien.
Yeah, so what we're supposed to believe is that the aliens gestate. They come out as like these like monster things, and then they shed that skin and they become the traditional gray alien that, you know, with the big head and the black eyes.
Exactly. So now we get to see like
where it comes from.
Yeah, like how, where aliens come from in a manner of speaking. So it's fairly game changing in that regard. You know, was it? It's odd. It's an odd episode. It almost feels just like part two to the end. Almost.
Yeah, no, it is.
When they bring back Diana, you bring back Spender.
We could have done them in the same episode if we didn't have the movie in between. But I think that, yeah, they bring back everybody and now it's like, we're in it.
Yeah, so I think it was like an end to justify the means almost of like, we have to get them into this spot. But I am excited to see the new normal. Because let's remember, in the beginning of season two, they went through that entire, like, two-part episode, but then they were back behind the X-Files. That clearly is not the case. So I have no idea where the X-Files goes without the X-Files.
It's still there. It's still there. And they're, the X-Files, like, the files themselves exist, but there's new ones that happen every week.
Right, but is it going to be like, this isn't my job, but I'm going to go do it?
No, it's going to be like they're doing their job and they just happen to be X-Files. You know, like they just happen into X-Files all the time.
Yeah.
And some of the episodes we'll see, and including the next two, are like, yeah, they're not, they're happening outside of the X-Files and they just happen to be assigned to them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to, you know, do it for the opening of season six to conclude. Woop. Like,
I forgot how much I like season six when we were looking over the episodes. I was like, season five all the way, because I love the episodes in season five. But season six is like, I had trouble paring it down.
So it's a game-changing start. Like I said before, at least in the immediate future, I'll be intrigued to see where we go. And speaking of immediate future, we're going to keep going with the next two episodes next week. It's going to be season six, episode two, Drive. Season 6, Episode 3, Triangle. I know you are super excited for Triangle.
Pumped for Triangle. It's an amazing episode. And I'm overhyping it, for sure.
But listen, I love that. Drive, I threw in there because I did do a bit of research and I knew that
it's a good episode. I just was like, forgot about
it. And this is the X-Files debut of one Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, the story of Breaking Bad is that Vince Gilligan saw Bryan Cranston in this episode and said he'd be good to play Walter White. So this is like history in the making.
Yeah, he is very good in this episode. And it is kind of, it's a fun episode because it's one of those bottle episodes that takes place all in one place.
Oh, and fun.
For the most part.
I'm sure that like they were really wanted that after going literally everywhere in the movie.
Yeah, true. But yeah, it should be fun.
Do we have any spooks of the week for the movie and or the beginning?
I guess the spook of the week for me would be the gooey aliens.
Yes, definitely I would say definitely in the beginning, it's the goo alien. I think I might go with Terry O'Quinn for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because he kind of just goes in there with his dreamy hair and blows himself up.
You love him.
I do. I really, listen, I would not be doing a Lost episodic rewatch podcast that goes 2 to 3 hours every
Don't
week.
Don't I know it.
She said with no hint of sarcasm whatsoever.
None.
So, season 6, episode 2 and 3 next week. Of course, as always, send in your thoughts, bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com, xfiles@postshowrecaps.com, as we're going to keep going through season 6 here. I mean, we're sort of like on the other side of the hill, as it were. But I'm sure, to your point, there's going to be plenty of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I just keep remembering that it's the best show ever.
Always good to rediscover that. You can also follow us on Twitter, @AngePelagi, @AMikeBloomType, @PostShowRecaps. Send us your thoughts as you listen to the podcast. We're always grateful for those of you who are listening to us out here prattle on for no particular reason. That's going to do it for this week on the Bloom Files. Thanks so much to Corey B. for the fantastic theme song. We'll check you out next week with Drive and Triangle. Until then, case closed.